This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final hour of the show, 60 minutes on the clock. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. It's all right here on ESPN 97.5. Fred and AJ and Aaron will be here as we continue with Thanksgiving week. Guys, here's something that came out of practice today with Mike D'Antoni. And I want to get your opinion on this because this is a bit unsettling for me.
Okay.
The question was asked of D'Antoni what the Rockets' defense can get better at. And he said, just getting back on defense. Probably not turning the ball over in the open court. Better communication. Other teams are going to score. We just got to do a better job of getting back on defense. If it was that simple, everybody would be doing it and everybody would be great at defense.
I'll be honest with you. Every time I hear Calvin Murphy break down a Rockets game for the last 5 to 7 years, he talks about transition defense and getting back on defense literally every time because that's how important it is. So I think what you're just getting from him is coaches speak, right? Like he's just trying – he's not going to start pointing out guys specifically. He's not going to say, get a call, you can't flop around and flail around and yell at the referees and not get back on defense, James. He's not going to do that.
But my point is more of the fact that it's not that simple. When you watch a Rockets game, and look, Murph's analysis, I'm a big believer, and he knows the game like nobody's business. But this goes back to something Nick was saying about Carmelo Anthony the other night, in the fact that he just joined the Blazers, and you got him shouting out the defensive responsibilities while he's not even playing defense. My thing is, don't tell me about getting back on defense, because that's an obvious prerequisite to any defensive play. Tell me about the rotations. Tell me about the laziness. Tell me about when guys quit instead of rotating off on a penetrating guard so that they can stop the penetration and then worry about this, you know, what needs to be done. It's not that simple. And by the way, you're the one that hired a defensive coordinator because you didn't want to coach the defense. You wanted someone to focus on it 100% of the time. The defense...
Well, what do you expect him to do? Come out and break down everything his team's doing wrong?
But I would,
generalities.
I would say, look, we got to do better on our rotations. We got to do better about the fact that we're not boxing out. Aside from Clint, we're not rebounding the basketball. Or certain things that really get down to the crux of the problem. I just think the bigger problem is that D'Antoni is an offensive coach. He's always relied on a Bezdelic or a guy that coaches the D. They don't have that this year, and I don't think they're focused enough on trying to right the ship.
I think you expecting him to pick apart his team.
I don't want him to give away secrets.
Break it down doesn't make sense. I mean, of course you want if you're. I mean, we want the real answers, but as a coach, you're not going to give that to the media. You're going to talk in generalities you can.
Let me take it a step further. Alekhine Bajani, who covers the Rockets on a daily basis, also found a quote from D'Antoni that he just tweeted that he said earlier in the year. He said, they cannot make adjustments unless the team plays hard within the current scheme. The coverage and scheme the Rockets employs can and does work, but players have to consistently follow their assignments and communicate. He said that earlier in the year. That's what I'm expecting from him now. You don't have to give away the secrets, but just say the fact that, look, for our system to work, we need this to happen and these guys to, and you have to have effort. Just like he's pointing out the effort of not getting back, it's more detailed than that. And there's a real problem in personnel too, in the fact, and it starts with your leader. It starts with 13. For as good as Harden is offensively, and we've pointed it out on numerous occasions, if he doesn't get a call or he's missing some shots, first guy that's going to quit on you and not get back and not rotate and not do the things necessary is James.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's obvious. James he's never been known as a max effort guy on defense. And he's got, obviously, a ton of flaws in his defensive game. When he wants to play defense, he can be an average defender. And I think if you could get average defense out of James Harden on a consistent basis, you'd be thrilled with that. But
there's a lot of people out there that tell me, they say it on social media, one of the best low post defenders in the league, and he doesn't get enough credit for the steals and everything else that make him a good defender.
I don't think James Harden is a good defender. I think when he's on his game, he's average. I'll give him above average, but I mean, but you, again, you don't, you're not going to ever, he's never going to be that. So I don't know why you would expect that, but I mean, I don't really have a problem with D'Antoni coming out and not being specific.
He probably never would have anyway. I mean, I think he was just trying to a certain extent. I mean, I kind of agree with you, Barry, because I think he had to give him some sort of quote, and he gave him that. And obviously, it's a lot more than just getting back. The whole transition defense thing, you're going to get that out of a lot of star players. Chris Paul was an issue with it. James Harden definitely is an issue with it. Russell Westbrook is definitely going to be an issue with it. My concern is, and this is probably what Joel's talking about, being more specific, is what you play on defense when you do actually get back on time and where the effort is there. And I've always talked about how James Harden does get credit for being a low post defender, but in my opinion, it's easier for him to do that than doing perimeter defense because he can just sit in one spot. He's not the shortest guy. He's not the tallest, but he's not the shortest, so he can actually deal with someone who is 5-6 inches taller than him and be a decent low post defender. It's a lot easier, in my opinion, to play defense there than being on the perimeter where you have to use your feet and you have to go side by side and you can't let somebody blow past you. Fight through screens. That's way more tiring than low post defense.
It's way more effort.
And it's more tiring. If you have to fight through screens and you have to go...
So that's the crux of
it. You're defending someone like Kawhi who can blow right past you?
My point is James Harden is never going to be a max effort guy on defense. So to your point, if you can sit down and just put your knee in some guy's butt and not have to move around and fight through screens... Yeah, you're gonna look like a better defender in the low block because of that. It's when you get into the perimeter, he's gonna be exposed more for his defensive deficiencies.
What I think would help the defense on this team, in my opinion, is not necessarily a Bezdelic, but another guy that they endorsed all the way around in that organization, like a Bezdelic, that says this is the guy that's gonna be a leader of your defense, and it's not a player, it's a coach that D'Antoni, Tillman Fertitta, Tad Brown, Daryl Morey, all the players, all endorsed as the leader of their defense, and then they have to all buy in, and then I feel like the defense will change. If they don't do that, this is what you're going to get on defense throughout the whole year.
Okay, Tad out of that. He has no say in basketball. Okay, and he shouldn't.
Exclude Tad.
Right, but here's the thing. Here's my two things on that. One, in terms of what Barry said, effort. It bothers me because, one, it's contagious when your best players, like you said, Nick, don't get back because now everybody's not doing it. It's okay. It's not even okay, but it's acceptable. You can get by with it if Harden doesn't do it. Even if Westbrook does hustle for the most part. But if he doesn't get back, but then if everybody else kind of gets contained, they don't get back, that's a big problem. The other thing that you're talking about is what I'm kind of getting at too. The crux of this is when you say they need a defensive coordinator that they respect. They obviously don't respect Elston Turner. They don't respect, but my bigger thing is they don't respect D'Antoni. Because the first sign and knock on a coach is if you're talking about effort, that comes from coaching. That comes from the coach. You play for a coach as well as you play to win. And you play for the coach that brings the most out of you. It's starting to feel more and more like, because D'Antoni didn't get that extension. And just flippant answers like this too. Kind of normally in the past, Mike, if you ask him a question one-on-one or straight on, he's going to give you a pretty good straight answer. It's starting to concern me a little bit more that maybe they don't respect the coaching staff like they should.
I don't know. I recall you specifically talking about on this show how much James Harden loves playing for Mike D'Antoni. Has that changed?
He has. Well, here's the thing. He loves playing for any coach in which they give him the keys and get out of the way. Okay?
Okay. But so when did that change then?
I think I don't know the dynamic completely, but I know that obviously that things changed a little bit with the Chris Paul situation at the end of last year. And then with this year, the fact that they're struggling a little bit, one of the first things that James does is he points outwardly when things aren't going great. And I think that, you know, we've talked on this show, as long as James can do what James does, I don't think James has a problem with Mike, but I don't think that he's listening to people when they say, get back on defense. You got to hustle back more. He's going to be like, eh, you know what? I do enough, but you know what? Without me, you don't win because of my offense.
I just find it interesting that we're talking about this in this way, like this team is 6-11 and not 11-6.
I know where they stand.
They've won. They've lost three in a row. Prior to that, they had won 8 in a row and were the hottest team in the NBA. They ran into
About who they played.
Yeah, they ran into three teams that were buzzsaws right now in the Nuggets, the Clippers, and the Mavs.
I don't think Denver's a buzzsaw.
You don't think Denver's a buzzsaw?
No, but I think that you even Denver's were the one that pointed out.
Denver's 9-1 in their last 10. They've won five in a row.
But I'm just saying, when you're
They're number two in the West.
When your owner and everybody else is saying that this is a team that's supposed to compete with the Clippers and the Lakers to be the best in the West, the one thing that is glaring is, sure, they can. We said it. You can score with anybody, but you can't stop anybody. The other two teams can. And I don't think just getting back on defense is going to stop anybody of the upper echelon in the playoffs. Or when it matters.
But, I mean, we're talking like this team is downtrodden, like they're going to miss the playoffs.
I just think we're just pointing out that they have bad defense. I think we, you know, we'll acknowledge
that's been exactly known, what we're doing. Right? Like, I mean, that's we've known that.
Right. Well, that's, I mean.
But you got to fix that. Now's the time.
And it's still okay to mention it. If I mean, even if we've known that, doesn't mean you don't bring it up. There's this 82-game season, and it continues. So if you continue to play bad defense, guess what? It's going to be continue to be brought up. I don't take away anything that this team has done so far, considering what they have to deal with, right? The new roster change, the fact that they added Russell Westbrook, the fact that they don't have a playmaker like Chris Paul on the roster. I respect that, but the defense has been an issue. We've acknowledged that 100 points, 105 points, that's quite normal in the NBA. They're letting go scores like, what was it against the Mavs? 137?
Mm-hmm.
That's a ridiculous number.
Mm-hmm.
So normally I don't bring that up, but when it's that high, you do start to wonder. You do start to wonder how this will translate.
158 to the Wizards is also bad.
That's another bad one, yeah. I mean, unless the whole league is starting to score 125 points a game, and that's just the norm. But I don't necessarily see that yet. I mean, I don't know. I still think the Rockets are a good team. I will point out their defensive flaws when I feel like they're necessary. And I see why Joel pointed out the Mike D'Antoni thing. But Mike D'Antoni, man, he's not going to be that harsh in the public towards his players. He's not.
Yeah, I don't want him to call anybody out. I want him more systematically and overall to say, look, this is what we're going to do to correct, and this is what we got to work on. I don't think just getting back on defense is the start of a solution.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to do something. I mean, it's a bad stretch for them right now. They lost against good teams. Maybe Denver is not a buzzsaw, but they're still a good team. Mm-hmm. And then they lose against the Mavs and the Clips. So they're going to have to turn things around for sure.
Hey, guys, if you want to turn around your wagering and you're not having a good run at it, there's plenty of folks at this station that are giving out great advice. AJ's giving you some great college basketball plays. Jerry Bowe gives you some great plays. And the best place to take all that and get it turned around and start putting some cash in your pocket if you're using their good tips is MyBookie. MyBookie is the online resource for wagering on sports. They've got odds on every game. They've got more prop bets than any other sports book out there. You really can't go wrong when you wager with MyBookie. Now, you may not win every time, but that's on you. But MyBookie, they're safe. They're reliable. They've been around forever. When you want your money, nobody pays you faster than MyBookie. You get your cash when you want it. Some of these places out there, when you're like, hey, I want to get my money out, they're going to give you the runaround. They're going to take as long as possible before they actually send you your money. Not with MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. That is not going to be the case. Don't bet with some no-name sports book. That's what you're going to risk getting into. If you do that, go with the best, and that is MyBookie. And right now, if you sign up, they're going to double your first deposit. They've got that exclusive double your first deposit offer. All you got to do is put in promo code radio when you sign up, and they will double it up to $1,000 in free money for you to use at MyBookie. You can't beat it, man. They've got, like I said, they've even got in-game live betting. So if you're like, oh, shoot, I missed the kickoff for the Texans game, but I still wanted to get this action, they do have in-game live betting as well. They've got more prop bets than any other sports book. There's really no reason for you not to start wagering with MyBookie if that's what if wagering is a thing that you want to get into. So right now, go sign up. Go to MyBookie.ag in your web browser. Put in that promo code radio. Take advantage of that exclusive double your money offer. Guys, it's MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Winslow of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back rolling through the final hour of The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday in the big city. Some other just interesting things today. Astros signed catcher Dustin Garneau on a one-year deal. He's 32 years old. He was in 35 major league games last year, splitting time between the Angels and the A's. While in the majors, he's combined to hit .244, five doubles, three home runs, 14 RBIs. Okay. How long till, let's play the game of how long before he's a Texan. The Patriots are releasing veteran offensive tackle Jared Veldier.
Sign him.
Off the reserve retired list. Sources say he's in shape and he wants to help a team in need of an offensive lineman. Possible late season addition. And he played for the Patriots. Oh, Bill O'Brien's all over this.
Bill O'Brien's like, well, yeah, baby, that's right. Come on over here.
He's been on a roll lately with these late season additions.
So he has.
See if he doesn't kick the tires there.
He has. And you think there's any surprises in this week's NCAA rankings?
I mean, obviously Oregon's going to fall. Utah's going to look to try and
climb. Penn State's going
to
fall.
Penn State's out as well. Oklahoma, because the fact that they're winning again, they're still hopeful that there's an outside chance.
Well, that's why I was asking, because am I crazy in thinking that they maybe don't move up? Not that they move down, but if you watch that game with TCU, they won the game. That was a close football game.
Yeah, it was. I watched a good portion of it.
That's not going to hurt them necessarily because they won, but it wasn't a pretty win. And there were times where you're like, oh.
Well, and it comes down to, again, what we've always said. Are they basing it more on the eye test? Like, the eye test says Ohio State offense, defense, special teams, most complete team in the country. But again, strength of schedule and all that, those kind of details favors LSU.
You look at Oklahoma, they had that massive comeback against Baylor where they were down. They were, what was it, 31 or something like that? 31 to 10, I think, at half or something like that.
It was 20-some points.
Yeah. So they looked like they were on their way to getting manhandled, and TCU gave them a run for their money. I'm not sure that they are – that. It would surprise me if they move up. I'm not suggesting that they fall necessarily, but it would surprise me if they moved up because of, you know, Penn State being ahead of them losing and Oregon. I could see them not moving because they didn't look impressive.
They're just hovering. Right now they're just hovering, happy to be where they're at, and knowing that if there is a team without – and they're hoping that Utah, who very strong offensive team, they're hoping that Utah, who still has to play – the Pac-12 championship game and have to play Oregon. And Oregon's probably going to have the red ass after, you know, basically losing every chance that they possibly were holding on to hope for last week, that there's a chance that if these other teams keep falling by the wayside, that they will eventually slide up. Look, the biggest thing to me is that Jalen Hurts, as much as people thought he was a Heisman candidate at the start of the year, he's hurting them as much as he's helping them because he's trying to do too much and his turnovers are bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a team to watch. I don't really know that it makes a difference if they make a couple of big jumps up this week or not, because I still think, like we've always said, teams in front of you who have to face their destiny, by the end, when all is said and done, they'll have played a big game or two where either they're going to have to put up or shut up, and they could fall by the wayside like Utah, like Oregon just did, and they just hope to quietly just keep on sliding, you know, and being in consideration.
Well, I mean, some teams behind them that looked really good this weekend include Minnesota and Wisconsin, who they didn't look like they struggled.
One of those
at all
is done after this weekend,
right? But neither one of them. I'm just talking about tonight's. Could those teams leapfrog Oklahoma because of the past 2 weeks that Oklahoma hasn't looked great? They've looked beatable.
I don't think so because remember,
this is a committee that they were big on the eye test. They're big on watching teams. That's why LSU wasn't number one and Ohio State was when their first rankings came out.
I think because their losses are too recent. I think the fact that, and you know, we always say it's who you lose to, but it's the biggest thing with losses is when they occurred during the season. You could rebound from an early loss. It's harder to rebound from a late loss. When you take it the fact that Wisconsin lost the game, they absolutely had no business losing to Illinois, and then they got manhandled late in the second half by Ohio State. I don't think they can get – they should be happy to be where they're at.
Okay.
And if they beat Minnesota, then I can see them making a move. Same thing with Minnesota. Minnesota, who was looking ahead to the potential of a Big Ten championship game and or a game with Wisconsin as another ranked opponent to beat on their way there, they slip up and they lose to Iowa. Now I think that's taken too much immediate shine off of their star to say that they're going to jump. So – we'll see. I just think if anybody, Utah's the team that makes a move.
Well, Utah's definitely moving up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about that, right?
Georgia, I mean, you can say the same thing you just said with the eye test. Georgia had problems with A&M. A&M was in that game.
Yeah, I could. I mean, you know, do you think they move Alabama up in front of Georgia?
I mean, look, Alabama's second-string quarterback still had them in control the entire way. But, you know, it's going to a lot's going to be more said when they start playing some of their tough
I think you're right. Utah moves up to six, but then that would mean you're going to move Oklahoma from 9 to 7 based off the last 2 weeks? Really?
I can see it, yep.
Florida didn't play. They were idle. But they're a two-loss team. Wisconsin's a two-loss team, which is a good point. But you don't see a scenario in which Minnesota jumps over Oklahoma.
I don't.
A week.
I can see next week. If they beat Wisconsin, then I can see it. But right now, because that loss is too fresh in their minds of the committee, it has to be with Iowa. I just don't.
Okay.
So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I think, again, I don't think anybody's really holding their breath right now in terms of what the rankings that come out right now. Because they know there's just too much ahead of everybody in college football that's going to tell you all you need to know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully it's
especially the conference tournaments.
Yeah,
or the conference title
the championship
games.
But you just hope it's clear cut, right? At the end of the day, as we always say with calls and umpiring and officiating, you just want them to have it right at the end of the year. So at the end of the year, it's pretty much a given. Clemson's probably going to cakewalk in.
Of course.
LSU controls their own destiny, and so does Ohio State, to the point where you think that they're so dominant. It should be those three teams, and then that final spot's going
to
be...
Well, like you said, you hope it's clear cut. If LSU loses to Georgia, it's not clear cut.
Absolutely.
Because that's 3 9-1 teams, or excuse me, that would be because you assume Alabama's going to beat Auburn, right? They're going to be 10-1. Georgia and LSU are playing. If LSU loses, they're 10-1. That would make Georgia 10-1 and the SEC champions. And then you look at that and you go, well, here we go again in the SEC. But this team beat that team, but that team beat this team, and it becomes not clear cut again. Now you've got to pick between three really good 1-loss teams from the SEC. So
that's where Alabama's like hurt said, by Tua not playing.
Yeah, well, that's true too. But that's like you said, LSU could really not, I mean, they could mess this up or they could just control their own destiny. Yep. If they lay an egg in that SEC championship game, all hell could break loose.
And all bets are off.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, I think ideally the two best teams in the country with honorable mention to Clemson are Ohio State and LSU. Yeah. And that's what everybody's thinking is what we're headed towards. But again, even the slightest slip up in terms of an eye test, like say LSU lays an egg, but they find a way to squeak it out.
Last second field goal or fumble recovery and it Hail Mary or prayer or something
that. Obviously does a lot of good for a team like Clemson. So we'll see.
True.
All right, so those rankings come out tonight. All right, we got a half hour to go on the show. Still some things we can get to. And of course, if you want to chime in, 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter. We'll put 30 on the clock and take you till 4. Coming up next, ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride wherever you may be. And hopefully you are not working, you are having fun preparing for Thanksgiving week, and out and about just relaxing. That's what we would hope for you guys, and obviously a whole lot more.
Yeah, and as you prepare, make sure you set aside some time this weekend, Saturday. Join me at Twin Peaks, the Shenandoah location. I'm going to be there from noon to 2. We're going to watch some college football and get one of their 29-degree beers. I'm going to have one. Don't you think I won't, even though I'll be working. They've got the food. They've got the beautiful Twin Peaks women. There's no reason not to be there. Stop by this Saturday, noon to 2. I will be there. Come party with me.
There you go.
You see this story that came out from ESPN's. Yeah, that's multiple ESPNs. The ESPN and Outside the Lines. A&M,
your team involved.
A&M's in a little bit of hot water, according to Outside the Lines. You know, I'll try to summarize this without reading the article to you. But essentially what has happened is, in the NCAA, there's been some guidelines set forth that say coaches and coaching staffs should not be allowed to pick the trainers and the medical staffs for their sport, like in football, mm-hmm. for example. And in the case with A&M, Jimbo Fisher comes in. He fires the athletic trainer that had been there for 14 years and brings in one of his guys. And the point of this is because you don't want the athletic trainer having to answer to the coach. You want them to be independent so that the decisions that are made based on an athlete's health is made in the best interest of the athlete and not necessarily a coach pressuring
the
medical staff to hurry the athlete back too soon.
It's essentially the concussion protocol in the NFL. You can't have anyone associated with that team evaluate an NFL player for a concussion because you need...
The quote from the NCAA, the coach must be completely decoupled from medical decision-making. And primary athletic health care providers must be in an environment in which making such decisions are free of any threat from coaches. Mm-hmm. And apparently that was not the case with A&M football or A&M basketball.
Yeah, Buzz Williams is in that too. They said yep. two high-profile new coaches at Texas A&M both involved in that. And you can see what they're trying to do. It's manipulating the system so that they have guys that are going to say, yeah, he can play. Yeah, he's clear. Yeah, he's okay, whether it be like in football, a concussion type thing or, you know, an injury where maybe an unaffiliated doctor might say, no, there's the potential of that calf injury becoming an Achilles or, and I use the Kevin Durant situation, but that's why
yeah.
independent doctors are so important.
Well, and then they talked about in one part of the article, and it's so long, I didn't even finish reading. I was like, I got things to do. This is too damn long. I'll watch the show. But at one point they talked about that there's some where A&M is kind of trying to walk this fine line is by saying, well, it's a guideline and not a rule. And then people are like, nah, it's a rule. And you guys didn't follow it. So I'm not sure what's going to happen just yet, but I can tell you it's a bad look.
It is.
For the two biggest, you know,
but programs. Here's my thing, right? So one, it's the NCAA. So basically anything can happen. And you don't know if you get – and here's the other thing to me that I'm not as worried as maybe a lot of A&M fans probably are when they at first glance is – if they can't come down and really bring the hammer down on this big recruiting scandal in college basketball in which they have coaches on tape basically trying to come up with enough money to pay kids and all the different assistant coaches that were so heavily involved and all the different programs, the fact that Arizona and Sean Miller still has a job after he basically almost resigned on the court last year knowing how dead to rights he was in so many different ways means – I'm not going to close the door on any of this as a big deal or say that, you know, they're really going to pay the price here based on the fact that it's the NCAA.
Well, and that's the thing is they said that there's not there. So Handline said he couldn't say for sure if A&M was being investigated because Outside Lines was given this information mm-hmm. And that there's some dispute. But there are unnamed sources within the, you know, within Texas A&M and the training staff that have said, oh, they absolutely made that decision. The quote was from one Texas A&M athletic trainer who worked under Fisher and spoke to Outside the Lines on the condition of anonymity. It was 100% the football staff. They had the say in who they were going to hire. I mean, this is
like the Astros deal or anything yeah. else. You better make sure when you come in and you want to make changes and do things your way that you don't have anybody with an axe to grind. And believe you me, those trainers had tons of friends within the university, friends and relationships that were built and cultivated over their long tenure there. You don't think those people are going to go, oh, well, you can do this because you are who you are. But wait, there's going to be an opportunity for me to do what?
14 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
14 years, you make a lot of friends. So, I don't know, Ags. Big, it could become a big scandal for them. You know, because when you start, because now what they're going
just
to do.
What we need in this area is another big scandal.
Now what they're going to do, though, is they're going to go back and start evaluating every single injury.
And every player, and they're going to talk to
every player, and they're going
to
ask, were you ready? Did you feel like you were ready? And if you've got some, you know.
Were you pressured?
Yeah, and you know, guys move on, guys transfer, guys graduate, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone does so, and they're happy about it.
Oh, did they help? So, did the coaching staff help him to get to the next level? Did they, you know, do some things during their pro day or whatever to make sure that attention was brought to a skill set that might be able to enhance their career on the next level? If they didn't, for any reason, like I said, they got an axe to grind or they got the red ass.
Yeah.
You better be careful, man.
Yep.
That's going to be one to keep an eye on because Tom Herman and the Longhorns, for all their shortcomings, they weren't mentioned yet. So.
Not yet.
Yeah, you got to be.
I imagine there's this goes on.
I was
going to
say, how many
know.
Schools did this? Is this the case with? Because look, every
like
coach
be
wants.
More.
It's all about trust, and you've seen it even with Urban Meyer. There's a reason why Zach Smith still had a job and was being taken all over the place because no matter what he did that was shady and illegal, he was doing it because he wanted to better the program and he was a guy Urban could trust. So. When you see situations like this, when coaches take over new programs, the last thing they want is a guy that's still loyal to the guy they just got rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you got someone that could hurt you and stab you in the back.
Another team that was mentioned in here was Tennessee in the article. One of their linebackers said that things were not going well while he was out. Butch Jones gets fired, new head coach comes in, and he was like, then he felt like things started moving too fast. Like he didn't feel ready, so... This could be much bigger than just A&M, but...
Could be a nationwide scandal amongst all or a lot of big-time college programs.
What it's going to do is it's going to force there to be a line as opposed to the dialogue that, well, it's a guideline and not a rule. It's this, it's that. Well, they're going to have to come out if there's even a hint of that and say, all right, it is absolutely 1,000% a rule. And it's a violation if you don't do it, and they have to be autonomous, and they have to be completely separate in every way, shape, and form. And, yeah, you might even go as far as to say, look, they can't even be paid by the athletic department.
You know, here's the thing. It happens all the time in pro sports. And organizations are going to – they're going to fudge some things. They're going to keep some things out of the media's hands and under the radar. You hope that everybody sees it as for the best thing for the organization and or the team. So you go with it. But in every one of these situations, there's always going to be a variable that you can't control. Or maybe at the time, hey, they were on board with everything you were doing. Mm. But later on, you did something. Maybe you didn't give them a raise 1 year. Or maybe you held them back from a promotion. And then all of a sudden it comes back to bite you. You expect it on the pro level. You don't really put as much thought into it possibly being an issue on the college level. But when big-time college programs who are pressured and expected to win.
And coaches get 10-year deals worth $75 million.
Exactly.
Then they make sure that they can control as much as possible, including the athletic trainers and so forth. So
yep. So something to keep an eye
on.
All right, keep an eye on this. We've got one segment to go in the show before we get the heck up out of here. So before we do any of that and before we head to the break, I think Nicholas has something he wants
to
talk
about. Yeah, I got to tell you about Tight End Sports Bar and Grill. Tight End Sports Bar and Grill. And if you like booze, if you like sports, if you like beautiful girls, head over to Tight End Sports Bar and Grill on 2502 Gulf Freeway. 2502 Gulf Freeway in League City. What better way to celebrate some of your vacation time and watch some sports, enjoy some brews? And you can only do that at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill. 2502 Gulf Freeway, 2502 Gulf Freeway, right there on 45 by the Best Buy. And if you want to go today, it's actually Tito's Tuesday. So any drink you order, that's Tito's, any mixed drinks, anything you call it, as long as it's a Tito's drink, is only $5. That happens only on Tuesdays, only at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill. I've been telling you about this place for a while. I told you that this is a made-from-scratch kitchen. It's not some ordinary bar with some ordinary bar food. It's a made-from-scratch kitchen served to you by beautiful girls. Full menu, quesadillas. I've told you about the wings, the chicken Alfredo, which is only served on Wednesdays. It's one of their signature meal items, and you can only get that tomorrow on Wednesdays, but it's really, really good. We've tried it. We've brought it over here to the studio. Barry's tried it. Joel's tried it. They absolutely loved it. That's only at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill. And don't forget Lingerie Fridays, where all the girls are dressed up in lingerie, and they'll have a live DJ as well. That happens only on Fridays. 2502 Gulf Freeway, 2502 Gulf Freeway, Tight End Sports Bar and Grill. And remember, everybody scores at Tight Ends.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
If y'all don't follow Rex Chapman, the one-time Kentucky Wildcat and NBA player and dunk champ.
Phoenix Suns, right?
You're missing something. He played for the Suns amongst other teams. Follow him on Twitter.
Mr. Blocker Charge.
Yeah, he is the king of the block charge videos, but he puts some stuff out there that's hilarious.
He does.
He just put out this thing where there's a couple, and the female is sleeping with her mouth kind of open. So the dude puts an egg yolk in her mouth. And the minute it hits the tonsils, she starts freaking out. And then she coughs some of it up. And she's like, why am I coughing up this yellow stuff? So she freaks out, throws the covers off. He had saran wrapped the top part of the doorway. And she goes running, screaming at him, and just goes boom. And hits this clear plastic wall right in the mouth. So the yolk stayed in her mouth and everything too. It's like, oh, it's hilarious.
If I did that to my wife, I would wake up the next day with no penis. She would cut it off. There's no doubt in my mind. I would never play pranks on my wife like that.
Nick, we got to find a way to have Barry
play a joke. You want his wife to Lorena Bobbitt him?
There's no way I would ever do anything like that to my wife. I just doing the old boom. Like, then, and if that makes her mad, then, oh.
If you do that, then you don't get no nookie for like 2 weeks.
Oh, no. She's going to get me. Like, she'll put a wasp in, throw a wasp at me in the shower or something. Like, she's mean. She'd get me back. I'm not playing with her. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
She'll cut me because she's Hispanic. She don't play.
I got the same thing with Lisa being Hispanic. But the thing is Lisa's all about when the joke's on somebody else. She doesn't like it a whole lot when the joke's on her.
Oh, yeah. That's how it rolls.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I told y'all.
So you don't mess with her, huh?
No, I still mess with her. Oh, I just know that I'm going to pay. It's going to be a pay.
You
the
go
price.
In there yeah. accepting the consequence.
Exactly.
You know in advance yep. what's going
to
happen.
Sometimes when so there's football get you on, to, it's very, very useful.
So are we going to get you to pour a raw egg down her throat while she's asleep?
Wow.
No chance. That's, with the hormones still
that?
Raging from
Hell
giving
no.
birth?
Like
you
I
don't
said.
Know when the whole hormones thing wears off and that's the whole true. Postpartum and all
well,
that?
Well, okay, no. well, wait. Uh-uh. Let's do it in May. You do it to her in May. Yeah.
So you want me to do it, and you just said, I want, okay.
Well, we've already established what would happen if I did it. You were like, oh, she'll be upset. Well, that's okay, right?
Nope.
Okay.
Not doing it.
That's fine.
Nope.
Spotify is making me feel old, man.
Why?
Because you know how we always talk about, like, the lack of creativity in hip-hop and how, like, especially not just with their, like, lyrics, but, like, with their artist names. Like
yes.
Lil Windex and, you know, all these randoms. Well, I've been trying to do really good about, like, keeping up with, like, all the new hip-hop artists, like, embracing the new era of hip-hop. And I knew there was two variations, like, two different artists that had the word baby in it. But then I kept looking in my Spotify, and I felt like there's no way there's three hip-hop artists all with the word baby but with different variations. There's no way. And then as I was getting mad, I realized I'm getting old because why would I be mad about something so lame? But I just think it's lame. Because
there's Lil Baby, Da Baby, and then...
I was wrong. It's Lil Baby and Da Baby
yeah.
that have a song together
yeah,
called Baby.
What? That's the stupidest thing I've ever... I knew about Lil Baby and Da Baby.
Yeah, and then when I saw just Baby, I'm like, there's no way. There's three
right,
different artists.
Here's what
called
we're doing
Baby,
right now.
Lil Baby, and Da Baby. No, it's Da Baby and Lil Baby, no. and they got a rap song.
Called Baby.
Called Baby.
Here's what we're doing. I'm not coming back as Boom Boom. I'm coming back as Da Lil Baby. And I'm going to do a collabo. It's going to be Da Lil Baby with Lil Baby and Da Baby. And then we're going to do a song called Baby, Baby, Baby. We're going to redo TLC's song.
Yep, I was thinking that.
And then because now we'll have three babies on the track. So it'll be Baby, Baby, Baby by Da Lil Baby.
And I know people are listening and saying we sound old, and I just don't care.
I don't care.
You should create that Twitter handle and say Da Lil Baby and then tweet at him and say you guys are just biting off my stuff.
What about Lil Jolzy Flirt? No?
I don't know where that came.
I don't know where that was out of left field.
Rap name.
Jolzy Flirt.
Rap name.
I you make me want to almost create an entire parody rapper.
Please.
Named Da Lil Baby.
Da Lil
Put
Baby.
Put a SoundCloud out and just do songs about babies and just have like baby noises and, oh, God.
That's I'm just saying.
I'm with you, though. First of all, you're old.
Welcome. I am. It's
welcome.
Official.
Welcome to the club.
It's official, dude.
Welcome to the club. It's about time you join us.
Yeah. Like, when did they think?
Never want to hear an age joke.
When did
from
they
you
collaborate and say, guess
us?
What? We're going to do the song called Baby. Like, when did they think that that was so freaking creative? Like, when did that happen? Like, at what point did they snap their fingers and were like, oh, my God, we got a hit song?
I wonder how they greet each other. Were they like, sup, baby? What's up, baby? Like, or do they just do little?
If you yell out baby and they're both there, they're both going to look back.
Baby, huh? Lil or duh?
Yeah.
Like, which
that's
one?
The worst part. Hey, Lil, come here.
Yeah.
What up, duh?
God, we are so old.
I don't care. At Nick this point, became, you're right.
Nick's
I don't care.
Like, get off my lawn guy.
Yeah,
and,
I
yeah.
love it. And then
Lil Baby, duh baby, and the song called Baby. I have every right to be upset. I have every right to be upset.
Stupidest thing ever.
You know who I found out?
Can you play the song for us? Can we hear
it? You know
it?
Who I found out about Lil Baby, by the way?
What?
My friend's babysitter.
Oh my God!
She's
no
like
way.
17. She's like, you don't know who Lil Baby is? I'm like, no.
Were you talking to her, Nick? Or?
No, I know the family.
Oh, okay.
I know the whole
so
family.
The babysitter. That's ironic.
Yeah, exactly. They were all in the living room, and I was like, man, I feel like I'm pretty up to date, right?
You're like, I know.
And
I
then
know
I showed them my list, and they absolutely crapped all over my list. They just thought it was terrible.
Really? You're not up to date at all?
They don't care about Kendrick Lamar. They don't even 21 Savage at this point. Like, their attention span is just, they move on really quickly. Really quickly.
Damn.
Yeah.
17-year-olds?
You should do
Yeah, 117 and 118.
You should do Tekashi 68. And we just start doing them like that. We'll just start making up rappers, right? I'm with you. We'll do it.
Da Lil Baby.
Da Lil Baby. That's the new rapper. That's who I'm going to be. Well, Boom Boom. Boom Boom is dead. Rest in peace, Boom Boom. But here comes Da Lil Baby.
You have a right to change your rap name. Puff Daddy did it.
That's right.
Prince did it multiple times.
Yeah.
Prince did it.
But there you go. Rest in peace, Boom Boom. Move over because here comes Da Lil Baby. I should go rename the Honey Badger anthem on YouTube to be from Da Lil Baby. It got pretty good run. Got 180,000 views on YouTube. That could be the Honey Badger anthem by Da Lil Baby. So stupid. God, you are old. I'm so glad I never want to hear another.
I knew
age
I was
going.
I know.
Yes.
I'm still going to call you guys old, and I'm not going to admit
as
that
soon
I am.
As you do, as but soon that's as still. You do, I'm going to say bump out the baby from Lil Baby and Da Baby, and then you're going to be like
disaster.
What does this song sound like? Can you play it real quick?
I'm afraid.
Yeah, the instrument.
This is the instrumental. The beat's nice.
I was going to say, how's the beat?
And I don't like, I've heard a couple of his songs and I actually like it.
Which baby?
Lil Duh Baby.
Or Lil?
Oh, you've heard Lil
I
Baby?
Think.
You don't know.
No, it is Lil Baby. I've heard Lil Baby. My Dog is the song that I've heard.
What?
It's on an album called Quality Control on Spotify, I believe. Because I've listened to that for at least a year and a half. I just didn't know it was Lil Baby on there, honestly.
Rap names are weird nowadays. Because like you said, like you were making a joke, but Lil Uzi Vert. I don't know what... I do feel old when I hear some of these names, and I shake my head like an old man. And then I go yell at a cloud. And then I listen to Eric B. and Rakim and think about the good old days. You need to give a shout out, by the way, before we get off the air.
Props to the Junkyard Dog, my man Mario Ellie. Birthday today, and as I tweeted to him earlier in the day, he was a hell of a basketball player. He's a better dad. He's a better friend. He's a better husband, and he's a good dude. So he's a friend of the show.
He is.
So shout out to Mario Ellie. Happy birthday, and hope you have a great week and year ahead, as I hope you guys have a great week as well, because I'm out and spend some time with the family. And
good for you, buddy. You've earned it. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Figure out how to deal with this newborn now that grandma's gone. Woo! Last night was an adventure.
Was it?
Man. I'm telling you what, I may never have free time again. But, hey, I'm happy she's here and she's healthy. All right, happy Thanksgiving to y'all. And you guys will, I'm sure, carry on tomorrow. And you guys will be as well. So make sure you tune in again on a Way Back Wednesday tomorrow. Is the theme decided?
No, not yet. We'll figure it out.
Because he didn't like my
thankful. That was stupid.
That's shocking.
It's a fantastic idea.
Stupid. Shocking. Songs about babies.
Done.
Oh, baby, we got to go. It's the Blitz. They're coming up next. Y'all have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. I'll talk to you next week. Barry and Nick talks to you tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.